Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
You don't understand. It's after us. It's big.
It's got huge teeth.
A big beak. Bulgy eyes. Feathers, fur everywhere.
Yeah, and pigs can fly.
No bears can fly. Bad guys beware. Here comes Banjo-Kazooie, where you're both bird and bear with amazing powers. There's never been anything like this head-banging, sky-flying, rock-hopping, egg-shooting, tag-teaming duo. Banjo-Kazooie, only for Nintendo.
It's big.
It's the 90s. Hey everybody, welcome to Play Retro. Yeah, that's right, I'm one of your hosts, Scott Johnson, and well, I don't mind having this bird on my back. It's actually kind of relaxing in a weird way, but when he hulks out and I have to be on his back, well, that's a very different story. Get your Banjo-Kazooie off my Banjo-Patootie. Anyway, This is basically Mario 64, except you're collecting puzzle pieces, right? No? Fine. I guess I'll play your all-time 64-bit classic then. Bears of a Feather Flock Together.
Oh, true story. And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway, and I'm living that rare life of a honey bear, occupying one bedroom cottage in the Spiral Mountains with my emotional support bird and a loudmouth rhyming green-nosed witch, witchy witch, kidnapped my sister for a neighbor. If only I had some sort of bespeckled mole person who could guide me through this horror. Perhaps I could go back to freaking sleep.
Yeah.
By God, hand me that analog stick, have a controller. I'm about to go banjo kablooey on this witch. I swear.
Nicely done. I feel like we have given Banjo-Kazooie and him and his bird's 25-year anniversary its due, even just in this opener here.
Yeah, you know? It's only been weeks since he turned officially 25. I think the game released like in end of June.
Oh, so I thought it was this week for some reason. I don't know why I thought that.
It was just too. Maybe it is. You know what? We're gonna say that. We're gonna say it's this week. Close enough.
Sure.
Banjo-Kazooie turns 25 this
care?
Week.
In 30 years, you'll look back on this and no one's gonna close go. Enough. Oh, they weren't dead on the date. They're not gonna care.
It was 2 weeks off. Get over it.
Yeah. But we got some, another rare game on deck, so we'll talk about it. It'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. Stick around. But before we...
We've covered a lot of rare games.
I forgot to bring it down here. Gosh dang it. All right. Well, anyway. Gosh
dang it.
Listener and a good friend of the show and the network, Vincent Minucci.
Oh, I love that name.
He sent me and you something. You don't even know about this yet because I haven't told you.
I don't. You teased me with it. You said, oh, dude, I got something totally rad. And I was like, okay.
Frick. I cannot believe I left it upstairs. Anyway.
You can go get it. I'll
That's stupid. You know what? I'll go get it after the show and bring it down here quick for the post.
Oh, even better. So stay tuned for the end of the show for Scott's show and tell at the ass end.
Guess what he sent us? He sent these. Cool, self-contained. It has a hinge and everything, a little clip and a hinge. It's a enclosure for these RG58XXs.
Oh.
And it even has a little screen pad zone in there. When you shut it, a nice soft pad lays on your screen.
Aww, it's going to protect my pad?
It's a sweet little portable deal that you would want to use for a case. Yeah, it's basically a case that he made for these, or he had had these made for us. And they're awesome. And I can't wait to send yours. So I'm forwarding yours plus another box of crap that I owe you that'll all come together. But
your box. Hold on to your butt. You're about to get a box of crap. I love when we send stuff to each other because me and Scott send retro gaming care kits. What would they call them when your mom would send you some cookies when you were at camp and stuff? What was those called? Care package?
Oh, care. Care.
I think it's
a care package, right?
Yeah, a care package. Okay. Yeah, that's it. And so we're sending retro care packages to each other just when our days seem to be just the shit. Yeah. And you're singing that song. What's the camp song, everybody? You hate camp. And
camp
you
down,
go home
lady,
and,
sing this song. No,
no, that's not even close. No, the one
camp.
With the one where you've been at camp and it's like everything's fine and dandy. Anyway,
blow, woe is us. I have to barf. The food here's bad, and I'm sewing stuff in leather.
That's close. That's close. That's close.
That's it. Right.
That's
there.
Like. That's like when I sing Baby Shark, you weren't even close, but it was close enough. I knew what you meant.
Here's one right here. Brian sent me this Master Sword from the Zelda series that he 3D yes. printed. The only problem is the wonderful mail system of America bent it, and I'm afraid to move it because I don't want to snap
so
it.
So now it's like bent carrot. I'll send you another one, this time with 100%. Oh, my gosh, boy. They turned that sword into a Z.
Yeah, they
that
really
is
did.
Great.
They really did, which really annoys me. But he sent this cool like holder for it, which is almost like
so cool.
Sword in the stone kind of thing. And I love it. I just hate that it's... That the
Wish you let me know. I'm gonna. You know what? As soon as I get your care package, I'm gonna take the same box. I'm gonna rip all the stuff out of it, and then I'm gonna stick it right back in the mailbox with a bunch of stuff. I got some Mario mustaches, extra Mario mustaches over here.
Sweet.
What else I got? Yeah, you're gonna get some. You're gonna get some crap.
Okay, I'm gonna send you a magnet. Don't hold it next to any screens, but I'm sending you a magnet. Oh, also, I forgot what I was gonna say. Oh, did you? This is a side note. I could do this off air, I guess. Did you send the super secret other package to the certain somebody we talked about? Did you do that?
No, I have not finished it. We discussed it, and then I let me see. Like the next day, I went to the urgent care center, and then I just haven't got back on life yet.
Yeah, no, so. Trust me. I had my own week from hell, and I almost forgot to ask. So now, it'll all come out in the end, everybody.
Already made one apology today because I'm running behind on something because of this past weekend. Good Lord.
Yeah, it's a lot.
This past weekend.
It's a lot.
Weekend
July so far, because July can take a dump. I'm mad at
July.
Yeah,
I think it did. Took it right on our heads. Don't put that in the care package.
Hey, tell me about this screen replacement, speaking of the RG35XX.
Oh, okay, so don't panic. Hold on to your butts. I've had a couple of people in our community who have been picking up that RG35XX we've been talking about, which is that handheld Ambernic that plays all the cool retro games up to the PS1.
Yeah.
And a couple of people have cracked their screens either by dropping them or just looking at them funny, put them in their pockets, whatever. I've had no problems whatsoever, but I wanted to find out just in case, because I was like, oh no, if this happens to me, I want to be able to order. I think they're like 3.2 inch screens or 3.5 inches. It's a little bit larger screen, believe it or not. And I ordered from Alibaba the recommended screen. And it came in. So it took about 2 weeks and it was about $22. And here is the raw screen. I'm holding it up. So it's got one little ribbon cable. I've watched the teardown video on how to do this. It doesn't look too bad. I'm just going to do a dry run. I'm going to pop that thing open sometime, hopefully maybe this weekend or the next weekend. Mm. And I'm going to try this other screen and kind of compare what this replacement screen looks like compared to the original. Because you're already talking about, if you order the Ambernic, the one we have, it's only like $55 plus shipping. So it's about $60. So if you consider your time and effort and then another $22 for a screen, if the screen's not at least as good as the original, you're really saving any money just by not ordering another one.
That's a good point. That's a third of the price. Is it worth the rest of the time it's going to take you to figure that shit out? Yeah.
Right. So that's what we're going to find out. I also ordered ones officially from Ambernic. You can order one directly from those guys, the official screen. And I'm going to get that in very shortly, I hope. It was $35 shipped. And we'll find out if it is got the same model numbers and all that stuff, because all this stuff comes out of China anyway.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. How do you know for sure that thing is actual screen that'll work for it?
Exactly. So whenever that was listed, the one I ordered from Alibaba. And if you have if you want to know the direct link that I had for that, just let me know in Discord or chat or wherever the hell you go. And I'll let you know. And we'll check both those screens out just to see how those replacement screens are and see if it's worth it or if it's just time just to call it quits and go, well, maybe I'll just order another one and I'll put a screen protector on it this time or something to keep it from happening.
I've still never bought anything from Alibaba before, and it's not because I don't want to. I just have never had a thing to buy. So what do I buy on Alibaba? What do you got? What are you doing?
Great question. So I wasn't planning on showing this, but I was just on Alibaba and I was like, it takes a while. If you get used to the idea of having to wait forever for something, it's, you know, it's a different experience. Order from Amazon all the time, Walmart, those kind of places. It's like, I got to have it tomorrow. Order Prime Day. It's Prime Week. Yeah, give me, give me, give me. But I was like, what if I ordered the most popular thing on Alibaba right now? Just most inexpensive, most popular thing they have, just to see what trends are going on, I guess, in China or wherever this is affecting. And this is what I got. $5, took 2 weeks to get here. Actually, it arrived quicker than the screen.
What is it?
It is like this. Let me see if I can get it. Let me see if I is. They're glasses. They're like Tron glasses. And they're okay. There we go.
Oh,
there we go. Yeah, look
stupid.
At that.
I love
look
it.
At that.
I love
now,
it.
Now, I had to wear it with my contacts. Right now, I got my regular glasses on, so that's no cool. So I've been kind of wearing like a headband.
Yeah.
But look at this thing. This is a lot of fun. And it's just a little LED. It's a clear crystal kind of plastic, this form fitted to your head. Mm-hmm. And you can cycle through these different colors, including one that cycles through all the colors. $5. It's like, even after shipping, the thing was like $5.75.
How do you get stuff over there that isn't in bulk? Because every time I look at anything on Alibaba, it's all like 300 pieces, 180 pieces. Like, you have to buy bulk. Oh,
that's a good question. No, I have no trouble. I just went straight to their website and I just looked for the most popular deal that day. And it said, order this thing for order one. And I was like, yeah, put in the thing. And so, you know, $5. And now I'm wearing, 2 weeks later, I'm wearing these LEDs, fairly decent. And it shocked me because all this stuff has to go through customs. So it's a totally different experience when you're tracking this kind of stuff too, because you have to try to understand what the hell it means when it says it's going to certain places and what it's doing, and trying to guess how long it's going to take. It's a game in itself.
Yeah.
These things got shipped in a little bubble mailer. This fragile plastic ass thing came all the way from China. With
why'd you do it that voice? Why that voice? Why'd you do that?
I told you I got Tourette's of some sort. China. I wasn't trying to be offensive.
No,
all the way
I
from
know.
China. Uh-huh. Well, the reason why I said it like that, you know why I said it?
Why?
You ever heard Tori Amos sing from all the way to New York?
Oh, China, yeah, yeah.
All the way. She says it because she's China all the way. And so anyway, that's what I was.
Oh, okay, okay. No, you're just a big Tori Amos fan. I get it.
That's what I was singing in my head.
Yeah. Totally.
So yeah, so it wasn't to be offensive. It was because I had to finish the song. It was in my head.
Yes.
Quickly, so we could move on. And then I didn't want anybody to notice. Too late. Scott noticed. Pointed out. All right, here we are. So right. Yeah, this thing, man.
Yeah.
$5. It's quality. It is heavy duty plastic.
I would wear that.
Yeah, dude. So I wear like a Tron headband, even though I want to wear my contacts when I do it.
I'd take
I really
it out.
Wanted to get it.
I get out in What's public that? With that. I wear it at the mall or something. You know.
Yeah.
I would.
This
totally
is a. I won't do that, but I did. But immediately when I saw it, I was like, oh, I want that. And it also happened to be, this was 2 weeks ago, so this trend is long gone. On TikTok, there was a trend with the I'm from outer space, wherever that song is. And you do the AI translation, and it's supposed to be you if you were like a cyberpunk kind of person. Mm-hmm. And people were doing all kinds of stuff, like putting pots in their heads and then running the filter, and they're, you know, they have some kind of weird electronic thing in their set. I was like, oh, what if I get those and I do that filter? Of course, the trend is gone now. It's 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But
that trend is done.
We're right.
Done but with that trend.
So, yeah, don't try to keep up with TikTok and AliExpress items. It's not getting lined
this
up.
This is great. These are great advice, bits of advice from you. I like it.
I didn't mean to get that route, because I was going to, I was supposed to show you my Mario raccoon hat.
Look at that.
That order from Amazon came in like in a day.
Look at that. Sweet. I need that. Does it fit your
Tell
head?
You, man.
Because I don't, yeah, nothing are, fits my head.
These are official Nintendo's, and they are very, it is very flexible, and it is huge. Even for my big giant noggin. We've talked about this before. Even my giant noggin, it fits pretty good.
You should have to wear the tail.
It's a little tight, but it's, you know, it's good.
You should have to wear the tail while you wear it.
I agree. I should order a tail.
That should be part of the deal.
One of those.
Yeah, have that hanging out. No one will think you're weird at all.
But I don't want to put it on the back of the hat. I want to wear it like everybody else does.
How do they do it? Oh, in their butt.
oh, in their butt.
In your butt. Well, I'm excited for you. Your new cosplay is coming in, baby.
It's coming in great, baby. And I'm saving all kinds of money and wasting all kinds of time.
Yeah, that's what you do. That's what we all do.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get in. We got stuff. It's banjo time. Here we go.
Shall we play a game?
Let me tell you about a little franchise, okay? A British franchise, you might even call it, because it was. It's a video game featuring
a game.
Banjo the Bear. Kazooie, this bird named Kazooie, There is no bird named Tui. We'll get to that. Okay.
Oh, that God, totally.
The revelation that we had recently here with this is kind of intense. Anyway, the series began in 98. That's when we got our first game with the release of Banjo-Kazooie on the N64, the Nintendo console. And the series and characters were developed by Rare Entertainment and published by Nintendo. This was a very tight relationship between those two companies. We have talked about them before. Here is a little bit of what that game sounded like. The bear is annoying.
That would be the banjo.
Yep, here it is. There's a bird making noise. Here's some gameplay. That's someone talking, I think. Do you want to hear the worst voice in the game? Check this out.
Oh, please give it to me.
I can't find it. It's like this guy. It's, I mean, they really, really that's, like that sound.
That's the one that you hate. It's like, nah.
It's a grumpy, like a groundhog or something. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, grumpy groundhog. Yeah, this game did not have the, it used that, we call it, it's not sim speak because this is before that. This is that whole nondescript, here's the flavor of it, right? Here's the tempo. It's like, here's words we're saying, and you understand that we're just making up words, but they're done in the tempo of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
yeah, and I'm a fan of it, to be honest. I sort of like that in games. I prefer it over trying to voice everything, so I'm actually okay with it. But this particular game's use of some of the voices where the are just grating. It's like, it makes me want to die.
And they go on forever. It is crazy, especially if you get a lot of dialogue. So this is a rare game. So two days ago, we talked about another game that had translation and on screen text. And this one is, is from merry old England. So we're not talking about a real translation. We're just talking about humor translation.
Yeah.
Translation. So there's lots of text, lots of dialogue going on, lots of humor, lots of humor stuff. And so if it's not too bad, if it's kind of short, the little there's got to be a word for that, for the little that little thing.
Yeah.
It can get long.
It can get long. It's like simlish, but
it's not simlish, because simlish is more like
more like nonsense
up here.
Yeah.
Like this is more like taking this is very inspired by cartoons.
Yeah,
these people were definitely inspired by cartoons of the Bugs Bunny era, and even in the '80s, the late '80s, they got some. Oh, they were definitely influenced by the gummy bears and stuff. There's some trolls and things in here that feel straight up ripoffs of late '80s Saturday morning Disney stuff. And so they've got a lot more of that kind of personality characters. It's like, oh, okay, mama, I'm a goofy. And, it's like, and they do a fine job. This is once again a day and age where you would have somebody on staff on the studio. You could either hire somebody to come and do some voice acting, or you'd use somebody, on staff, or maybe a little bit of both. Maybe to have somebody, a few people come in from outside, but no big heavy duty voice acting lifting, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. From a gameplay perspective, the game owes a lot to Mario 64 in terms of structure. The game is about collecting these musical notes, a lot like in Mario, it was collecting the stars, and you are presented with various levels, and those levels, you're right about it featuring a lot more dialogue, but once you actually get to playing, it's a lot of similar stuff. Like, I need to solve this little quick puzzle so that this unlocks, and then I got to go become an ant for a while because only ants can climb this hill to get this one thing.
Was he an ant or a termite? Because I thought he was an ant too, but then he was like so much smaller than the rest of them. And when I was doing my research, I didn't see anywhere they said that Mojo, that's the character that turns you, right? He's like the witch doctor that we kind of get confused between him and the Crash Bandicoot witch doctor.
Yep.
He turns into a termite, right?
Yeah. And that's where, by the way, every time you think, oh, Boo-da-ba-ga, that's him in that other game. No, it's him in this.
Yeah.
It's him making noise in this thing. I have some of that for the second game, but it is so easy to get that face mixed up, or those two masks mixed up.
It is so easy to do that Brian spent up until we did that episode of Crash Bandicoot that I had thought I had played Banjo-Kazooie. But going through our rare retrospective we've been doing the last couple of years, we did the Diddy Kong Racing, which had some of these characters premiere there, even though they were already created for other games. They just hadn't been published yet.
Right.
Banjo was there, and I always got the two mixed up. I had never played Banjo because I never played any Banjo game. I didn't realize what I missed out on.
You did miss out. You missed out hardcore. I 100%ed this game when I had it on the N64 and loved it. I loved it.
So much better than Mario 64. I know there's some people out there who love the Mario 64. I always had trouble with it, including the controls. Even though
the camera's better in this, it's way better.
It's got to be. And even though this has way more combinations of moves in Banjo-Kazooie, because that's what this game's all about. This game is all about, you know, you spend half your time collecting stuff, and you spend the rest of the time learning new combinations on the joystick to do some kind of fancy moves so you can solve more environmental puzzles. And I thought this played excellent. It made me feel like, oh, I found the missing link between Mario 64 and Super Mario Sunshine. That was the next real big one, right? That was the next big
the next Mario mainline Mario game was Sunshine. Yes, that is correct.
Okay, Sunshine. So yeah, again, I always felt like it was disconnected. I'm like, oh, it's like, how'd they go from that to this? I'm telling you, man, Rare fed off the Mario 64, and I think these other guys, because they worked in really tight with each other. I think it also fits.
Well, that's what I wanted to say was it's one of those things where without Mario 64, I don't think this game exists. But
yeah, they were in a totally different direction. They were doing something called Dreams, right?
Right. And by that, I just mean like you have that example set, then you come in and you improve on it. And even though you have an IP that isn't well known, nobody knows who these characters are, you're having to establish your IP as you play. Doesn't have the cachet Mario has always had, but it stood up on its own. It became very popular. Word of mouth was really strong. Reviews were really strong. Critical reception was really strong. This was one of the games you mention when you say, ooh, 1998, one of the greatest gaming years. Banjo-Kazooie is on that list. Yeah, and it's there for a reason.
It's like it's in the top 10 for the most N64 sold games. You got to remember, this is Rare, who eventually was purchased, like Nintendo purchased, like what, 49% of the company at one point in time. Then Microsoft came in and blew all that up. Thanks a lot, Microsoft, even though we do have the ability to play this game on Microsoft now on the Game Pass, I believe, and also Rare Replay.
Yeah, Rare Replay and Game Pass, that exists. Console only, though. I was checking out trying to play this on the PC Game Pass or even just PC Xbox Store, and I can't find it.
I played it. I did have trouble, too, and I ended up going to... And you can play this in the cloud. So I was able to play it in my browser.
Yeah, cloud makes sense. But can you play it? Can you download the damn thing and, like, play it? Like,
no.
Yeah.
I don't even know how you would. I mean, did they ever port it? I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think they ever PC ported it, as far as I know.
Yeah, I played it on my Mystery FPGA, and it ran like a champ. And I meant to get my N64 controller out because I did have a little bit of controller confusion, as we've talked about in the past, with this particular controller with the one analog stick. And but yeah, it worked fine, and they solved all that stuff. Yeah. Absolutely, if you're trying to play this today, unless you're just a retro head and you got the N64 controller and can get something like a Mayflash USB adapter so you can plug it into your PC, I said I played this on my Mister. That's a lie. I played it on RetroArch on my PC.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah, because it doesn't have a valid N64. I apologize.
That's why I think the upscale widescreen, I mean, just the visuals are great, but also the adaption to modern controls, I think, helps it a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm going to play it again, I think. Like, why not? I really like it. It's such a fun game, dude.
I'm going to finish this one because I've been meaning to do something that I can finish. And I keep saying I'm going to finish him. And I'm like, see, I got it. I got
you
whatever
did it again. You got the T.
I got it. I'm going to finish this because you know why? This is just a 10-hour game. If you use like a guide or something, it's a 10-hour game.
Oh, yeah. You'll
like,
rip through it.
I could do that.
Yeah. You not only rip through it, but it feels right. It's a very cohesive thing. Now, what's weird is, well, we'll get to the sequel in a second, but I had nothing but love for this when I played it. And then I basically just forgot the sequel came out. Like, I just sort of didn't. I never touched it. I never played it.
From the stats, the numbers I saw. I tried to get into the mindset of what was going on. I read a lot of reviews and interviews and stuff about this. We were in a rare kind of fatigue in 2000. So 98 was the first one. And then the second one came out in 2000. We had kind of gotten tired of what we were calling collectathons. And that's what Banjo-Kazooie is partly. It is a collectathon. You're collecting, you know, you're collecting those puzzle pieces. They're jiggies.
Yeah.
You're collecting the jiggies, and you're collecting music notes so you can unlock areas and navigate through all the hub world and everything. And that's fine, but it's really not what's important about the game. It is a part of the game, but I think people are getting sick of the collectathon games. I don't think it sold as well as the first one, which is sad because initially, anyway, I can't say the total numbers, but initially, I think they shipped 3 million copies of the first one and 1.5 million.
It's still very good. It's a very good
game. Those are things that I read, and I may have them in totally the wrong order. Don't quote me on those. But
the one I want is, here's what I want. We're in a time where where Square and everybody else is doing like major remakes, like proper remakes, not just remasters, not up-resers, but this is a remade game, right? They're doing that with Final Fantasy VII. They're doing it with a whole bunch of other stuff, and they've got even more coming. And they're not the only ones. Like the Crash Bandicoot games, all remade, including the Crash Team Racing. It's very good. I'd kill for this to be remade.
And I would kill
for
this
remade,
too.
Brand new engine. You know, the fur and feathers look real. We know what we're capable of now, right?
Right. And it has to be.
I'd do it tomorrow.
It has to be on the Switch. I hate to break it to you, Microsoft. And Microsoft's been pretty cool about this. I think Spencer has said, you know, he's pretty cool with, you know, if they wanted to do, if he basically passed the buck. If I remember everything that I've read, which I read a lot in 2 days, they were
We had to haul ass, by the way, because we did a show on Sunday and it's already Wednesday. And we're just like, oh my gosh, we got to hurry up and do another show.
Yeah. How many days to do Banjo-Kazooie? How about 2 days? Perfect. Let's go. It seems like the attitude was Rare. If this is going to happen, this is going to be on Rare. Microsoft isn't pushing this. We don't think there's necessarily, we don't have an opinion on this. If Rare wants to do this, let them pursue it. And it feels like whatever is left of Rare, whoever is still there, it rhymed just like the witch in this game.
Yeah.
That is up to them to do it, to gauge the interest and to do it. And that's the question. Is there something about any of this that could stand out to kind of sell stuff? Like a remaster would be a cheap way to do it, right? You just up-res some graphics. You tighten up some controls. You don't put a lot into it. You throw it in as part of Game Pass.
Well, again, like if they want to do it properly. And so the good example or the most direct comparable example is probably the Crash Bandicoot remakes. Those are straight up remakes. Like they're still the same game, you know, essentially the same game underneath. But the graphical fidelity, meaning not just up-res, we're talking like new engine.
Right.
Is very apparent. Those are beautifully remade games. And they look like modern games. That's what I want this treatment to be.
I want to see it like the Spyro trilogy. I'm suffering right now to try to remember.
Same deal. Those look
what
great.
What team brought that? Who brought that together? I can't remember what team brought that together, but the Spyro trilogy was fantastic.
Yeah, and if that's worth doing, this is worth doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
if you're going to do Spyro, freaking do Banjo-Kazooie, you weirdos.
Spyro. Well, that's the question because I thought about the same thing, too. These are all questions that I thought about very deeply in the last couple of days. That's one of the reasons why I couldn't sleep. I'm like, oh, my God, what if they did? Why wouldn't they do this? But then I was thinking about it. You know, a lot of people still buy Spyro merchandise every year, even though Spyro hasn't been around forever, except for the trilogy stuff. And even before then, people are still enamored with the character Spyro. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen, there's a lot of love when I mention it. I'm like, oh, Banjo-Kazooie. And everybody's like, oh, I love that. But nobody seems to have a Banjo-Kazooie shirt wearing or little figurines or anything. People don't seem to be putting their money where their mouth is. But I'm not sure. Maybe it's just because
if nobody's making it to buy, though, that's not their fault. Like I'm saying is I think the fan base is there. I think there's a whole bunch of 30-somethings now that grew up as a little kid with this game.
25 years now. That is the sweet spot for major nostalgia revisit with a generation that now has questionably disposable income.
Yeah. Yeah. It depends on who you ask right now, how disposable.
Right. It's prime pickings for this. If it ever had a chance to resurge, I think you're right. One of the problems, of course, is the Rare guys. Rare had a shake up, especially after the Microsoft buyout. Yeah. A lot of the talent, the comedic timing, this is a real kind of a special team. You had this combination of, you know, they were really in touch with what was going on at the time. They was really kind of hip with the humor. You need that kind of to gel back in. If you just played the game Ukulele, the Playtonic game that was that like some of the Rare guys went over to, that was in 2017. That was fantastic.
Yeah, that was good. That was a lot like this in a lot of ways. I would argue their second game, the Ukulele, that one's better.
You think it's better?
That 2.5D side scrolling business is really good. It's really handled well.
Why not just though Banjo? Because I mean, it's kind of already the same idea. You got Ukulele, it's like two characters together, and together they do special things. Why not just throw Banjo in that engine? Because that engine still looks good.
No, it looks great.
They even have a newer engine now.
Yeah, it's basically new. And that's the other thing, is that Kickstarter did extremely well. That to me tells me there's a market, because people went, ooh, the people that made Banjo-Kazooie, sure, I'll do it. I wish it was Banjo-Kazooie, but that's fine if it's something else, because they don't own that now. Like, people were willing to belly up. I don't know how.
PlayRetroShow@gmail.com or PlayRetroShow on Twitter. Let us know what you think. Are you interested in a Banjo-Kazooie? Would you put money where your mouth is?
Yes.
Would you poke the beak in your backpack and say, hey, hand me some money?
Would I pay $49 for, you know what you do? You make both games, this and Tui, one package, all remade.
Yes.
It's like 20 hours worth of gameplay. You sell that for $49. All in a new engine. You give it the full treatment like you did the Dragon game you mentioned. What's it called? I forgot already. Spyro.
Spyro the Dragon.
Yeah, that, or the way they did the Bandicoot remakes. I'm there day one. I'll play your game.
The insane trilogy for the Crash Bandicoots. I would totally. And you know what you could include? There's actually three. You could even include that Trash Game Boy Advance game.
Yeah, that thing's not as great. It's okay. Yeah. It's not the worst, but it's pretty.
I mean, they got Nuts and Bolts from 2005. Would that be worth remaking?
Dude, Nuts and Bolts is so good. People don't even know. It's so good.
Would it need to be remade, though? Because that's a little more modern. Would it need to be?
No, I don't think that game still looks really nice. It's a very, very nice looking game. I mean, it basically is. The 360 is basically a Switch in terms of capability. So if you like how Nintendo games look on the Switch, you'll like how Nuts and Bolts look on a.
Don't do anything to it. Include it in the bundle. I don't have it. Do that like you said. I give my $50.
Now maybe that's what I'm going to do.
I don't know.
Maybe I need to just play Nuts and Bolts is awesome. I may just start Nuts and Bolts again. Maybe that's what
I do.
There
you go. Yeah, that's what we both should do. Hey, won't you? Hey, whoever still is around Rare, this still with Rare. Why don't you go find a mound of dirt somewhere and see if you can get yourself a Bottles the Mole to upgrade our level, please.
I think you could work that out. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk now about the follow-up.
I want to talk about the story real quick before we move on to the next.
Go ahead.
It's pretty much the story all the way through. We got what's her name, Gruntilda? Is that her name?
Gruntilda.
She starts out, so for whatever reason, Banjo the bear and his emotional support pet live in the Spiral Mountains area. And above them is the witch's lair. And she's like playing a couple of roles. She's got kind of like she's like all the tropes. She's got like a Dr. Frankenstein trope going on with like, you know, little minions running around, you know, hunchback and helping her. And then she's kind of also partially she's the witch from Snow White. I mean, they just took all the fairy tale stuff and just like shoved it together. She's like the witch from Snow White because she wants to kidnap Banjo's sister, Tootie Fruity. No, where's her name? Tootie. What'll be her last name? Does she have a last name?
I don't think she has a last name. I could be wrong.
No. And she wants to kidnap her because she's the fairest in the land. And then in this next one we're about to talk about, turns to the three witches. Remember the three witches story?
I do remember the three witches.
Yeah. So
they use a lot of ideas that people are familiar with. Let's put it that way.
And that's because they started off the game Banjo-Kazooie. If you didn't know it, it was going to be an RPG, and it was going to be called, and if you ever want to look this up, Dream Land of Giants. It was an unreleased RPG that Rare started out with. And that was brought in by Greg Malaise. I don't know. Something like that.
Tutti Frutti. Yeah.
Tutti Frutti. He's the creative director. Anyway, it kind of morphed into what became Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah.
And so that's what we got.
Sometimes that happens, especially in these old games where they're breaking new ground. It's like, we started on a thing and we changed directions midway and we pivoted.
Pivot.
Now let's pivot to two. This was literally called Banjo. Well, we'll get to it in a second. It was called Banjo-Tooie.
Right.
Brian, me, and everyone else alive assumed that it was a new character that hung around you called Tooie, like a replacement bird or some shit.
That's exactly what I thought until like a week ago.
Yeah.
I was like, oh yeah, I know what Banjo-Tooie is. Absolutely. That's where Banjo is doing, you know, he's went to the next episode and he's got a new character, right? Yeah. Maybe like a young bird or a different bird. No.
No.
Stupid.
No. Nope.
It's just a clever play.
It's just a clever way of saying two. It's the part two is what they're saying.
It's not even that clever.
No.
And I was just too dumb.
Not really. But anyway, this is what this sounded like. A little more banjo. More rockin' music. Now, as you go along here, let's see if I can find it. Where's that? This talking guy.
Is that Mumbo? Mumbo. Mumbo number five.
Pretty great, right? So there's another one. So as you can tell, there's a lot of yabbering and yabbering on this one too. There's a lot of, a lot of just talking.
You thought the first one had story.
Oh yeah. There's a lot.
There's like that first intro video, by the way, this is not a spoiler. But let's just say Bottles bites it at the very beginning.
Yep.
Second one.
It's a bit of gnarly violence.
There's some deaths.
Oh yeah. No, you need to deal with some loss in this game. These games. As fun as they are, you know, they're kind of goofy. There's some problems. Anyway, I never played Tooie. I don't know why. I didn't. Honestly, part of what turned me off was like, oh, there's a new character. That's lame. I want to play with the bird.
That's funny. That's exactly what I thought. I was like, oh, they're just going to ride this train all the way into the station.
Yep.
What's a Tooie going to be? Is it going to be some kind of other bird? I'm like, get away from me. And this is probably what hurt this. Maybe it's what hurt it.
It's so probably what hurt sales. I bet it threw people off. Because why wouldn't you say Banjo-Kazooie 2? You were diminishing the power of the freaking bird.
You were trying to be clever.
Right.
And you screwed it all up.
Yeah. Not only were you trying to be clever, you are discounting the power of the damn bird. The bird matters. Yeah. It's not just some accessory. He matters.
The bird is paramount. If you've played Banjo-Kazooie, which I did for the first time this past week to any real effect, the bird has all the power. Banjo is pointless because in this one you get to find out just that when they separate, there's parts where they separate and you just play as Banjo and they have to give him some powers. They have to nerf him up to make him even playable because otherwise he's pretty useless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Without the tattoo.
He's the muscle that carries the bird. That's about it.
Yeah.
You know, he's movement, I suppose. But the bird
has
all the skills.
And a sister. That's his whole role.
That's his whole thing in life. He's got a backpack and a sister.
Yeah, that's all I got.
From everything I've read and heard, it was a good game. The second one, I mean. Excuse me. And I didn't play it then, and I didn't have time this week because we were so rushed. I only had time for the first one, but.
The week. Yeah, you keep calling it a week. It was 2 days, guys.
2 days, yeah. It was just too
it
much.
Was 2 days.
I couldn't get it done. But by all accounts, it's like more of what you like. Here you go.
Yeah.
You know, go collect some more shit.
I stayed up late playing this one because I felt so bad. I was like, oh, I got to play. Well, first of all, I was up late anyway, and I wasn't feeling well. I was going back and forth between not being asleep and sweating profusely. It was a terrible night. Anyway,
that's not. I got into this. Sorry, that's not supposed to play. But yeah. I don't like hearing that. I don't like that you were that out of it, man. That's
I was so uncomfortable. So I said, you know what, bump it. Getting up, play me some Banjo-Tooie, and I did. And man, this one looks better. There's more. It seems like there's. I'm not sure about this. This is where it gets kind of loose in the rails. But the Banjo-Tooie. It seems like there's more frames of animation. Now this is 3D stuff, right? We're in the full 3D era here.
Yeah.
And the animation's smoother. In the first one, there was lots of times you'd be rolling along. Banjo does this little tuck and roll thing he does, which is really cool. In this one, they made it so that that Kazooie kind of like held you like in like almost like had the
right.
feathers
right.
on the outside like what are those dread the terrible ones the robots in the Phantom Menace, what are those things called?
Phantom Menace,
the roller bots, the ones that Metroid and they roll around.
Destroyer droids,
right. I guess it's Destroyer or something like that. I think you're right.
Shit, I
don't anyway remember. Yeah. Kazooie, he does that. He does this like thing, and it just rolls so much smoother. The controls are so much better. Everything about this game, as far as gameplay and interactivity with the game, is so much better. Where it falls off the rails a little bit,
yeah.
They try to make it. They try to bring even more variation of gameplay, and they introduce a whole bunch of new moves to the point that it becomes too difficult.
It's
like
much.
Okay, now now I don't feel like I've got a. I don't feel like I have an even experience. Is this a better game? The gameplay I think is actually better. Is the game as a whole better? I think the sampling size of the first one tasted better to me, even though this one definitely has its advantages.
Well, that's the fine line these companies have to walk. They don't want to do feature creep. And
right.
Sometimes it's just a little too much, you know?
And there was so much, we don't experience it as much now, but there was so much pressure during this time to a company would get known for a particular type of gameplay or game style. And every time they release something new, critics would be like, it's just more of the same. So you had to break the mold because it got a lot of pressure from critics that this was, you know, just more of the same. It's just, why even buy it? Why spend money if all you're going to do is just have a continuation of the same story?
Yeah. People thought it was expansion, you know?
Yeah. We kind of saw that by doing expansions. I think some companies found a way to, you know, to like half price something for an expansion. Not quite as much full price. And people were starting to see that. People were starting to notice that. So this game got most of the flack it got was not from the beautiful gameplay or nothing else, because it was a fine game. It is solid. They made some really good improvements on how it plays. But yeah, they're probably the biggest detractors were like, well, this is just Banjo-Kazooie.
Well, but also guess what was about to happen in the year 2000?
N64 was about to go.
Yeah, we were about to have a massive rollover on hardware. On everybody, not just Nintendo. Everybody was about to do something big, and Sony had entered the space first, I think, with PS2. Well, first was a Dreamcast, but PS2 was pretty quick after that, and I think it was even out when this game was out. So it was just, I don't know, I felt like people were moving on.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
I feel like the N64 life cycle was very quick, and it just felt like came and went just in a breeze.
It was quick. And even though it was it's basically just like the PS1, lifespan wise, it still feels shorter. It's weird. Yeah.
But Banjo-Tooie, more of the same stuff. It was set chronologically 2 years later, as well as released 2 years later after the first one. The witch is back. She's not rhyming anymore. I was a little disappointed in that. I really loved her banter when you were walking through the first levels. This is kind of an idea of how this game works. Both the games something happens and you have to go on an adventure to rescue somebody. The first one was Tootie, your sister. You have to make it to the witch's lair. Along the way, you've got to learn stuff about the witch, because you find out later in the later parts of the game, you need that information to be able to defeat her. So there's basically just one big boss, and there's only so many paths to go. They're interesting paths, but you have to get there.
Yeah.
More of that here, but now Gruntilda's two sisters have shown up. Gruntilda is pulled from under a rock, because that's where she had laid. She's a skeleton now. There's a lot of death.
Yep.
There's so much death in this.
Subtext dark, death business.
Yeah. Dark humor. Conquers bad fur day sex jokes.
Yep. Oh yeah. They got to start crossing over, right? They got to start doing some of their rare crossover talk.
That's right. But just you're getting the puzzle the elements again. You're still collecting feathers so you can do all these special, you know, so Kazooie can fly. You're doing the song notes.
Yeah.
Song notes are improved. And one thing we haven't even talked about, and I don't even know if you know anything about this. I knew nothing about it, but anybody who's a banjo head or a Kazooie beak, whatever you want to say.
That's what the real fans are known as. Yeah. Right.
Right. There was a swap thing that you could do. Did you know about this?
No. Oh, I knew about the, you're talking about the split screen thing?
No. Oh. This is where they had this idea. They had this idea at Rare, because the N64 had this early in its life. It had this thing where if you pulled a cart out for like 10 seconds, some of that cart would still exist.
Oh, right. Yes. Hot swappable cartridges. Yes.
Right.
It would sit
it would sit in there for like about 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And then if you stopped and swapped the game out to like Banjo-Tooie,
yeah,
you would be able to introduce some unlocked things.
Some into elements. That cart. Yeah. Right.
Right.
Yep. Smart. I do remember this now. Yeah.
Brilliant. So stop and swap. And that's what you would do. You'd pull the card out and you put the in. But Nintendo said, mm-mm, no Rare. That is way cool, but mm-mm, we can't have that. Probably for concerns of probably all kinds of bullshit.
Probably
all kinds of things.
Hacker shit or whatever.
Hacker stuff. But they really said, oh, just wear and tear on the carts. I'm like, nobody's going to be pulling it out. Nobody's going to be they might be doing it that much. But, you know, you're going to be doing it some. But they were saying that. But my guess is probably, yeah, we don't want any more breakable points where hackers can get in here and do whatever the hell they
want. Yeah, because somebody's going to figure out, oh, if you do the timing just right and you pull this one out and swap it in with Zelda, and then now it unlocks, I don't know what it would do. It unlock a whole new Zelda game, or who knows.
Like, So Nintendo said 1 second. So I guess for whatever reason, they dropped it down to 1 second, which is way too, that's more like stopping. Freak out, because there's no way you're going to get the other card.
Yeah, you want to break something, give me 1 second, then I'll break it, Nintendo.
So there's this unlockable stuff that is in these games that talks about the stop and swap. And so for years, no one would come out and say what it was. And so it became legend this, you know, what was the mystery behind all of this? And that's basically what it was. It was the ability to unlock certain parts. But it was really smart. I mean, it was very forward thinking. N64, you're looking at, you know, save continuations, bet you what you're talking about. That's what we've seen games do that a lot since then, where, you know, you finish one game, you know, it's going to be a series, and then you carry over that character or some element or something to the next game. It's a good way to keep, you know, keep faithful buyers, right?
Yeah.
It's a good way. It's smart.
Yeah,
smart.
I agree. It's a lot like what Amiibos do now, you know?
Yeah. Like they eventually, Microsoft eventually made use of this. So I'm not sure which version it is, but one of these versions on Microsoft does allow you to do somewhat of the stop and swap, even though it's not, you know, pull anything out or anything like that.
Sure.
I just found that fascinating. Sorry, I didn't mean to detract too much.
No, it's good. It's
jiggies.
That stuff is interesting for sure. Now let's talk about maybe the least good thing in the entire list.
Let's not talk about it.
We're doing it. It's happening. This is called Banjo-Kazooie Grunty's Revenge.
Grunty.
Which sounds
Gruntilda,
gross.
That's right. Gruntilda's nickname is Grunty.
Yep. And now we're in 2D sprite land, and it sounds a bit like this. More of that music. You know the drill. Okay, here's some great voice work. Hold on. Uh, It makes the attempt to make the experience happen in a 2D pre-rendered way.
Yeah, 2.5, correct. These are sprites, so the backgrounds may be 3D, but we're definitely falling back to the sprites. That's the reason why we included a 2003 game in our retro respective, because this actually goes the graphics wise, it's less powerful than your N64. So they had to scale it back, and boy, when you scale this up from a size that is not what the 2.5 inch screen or whatever it is that's on the on this particular version,
the Game Boy Advance,
it looks like butthole.
It looks like butthole.
It looks like butthole, but that's fine. That's fine.
Does not scale very well. I've actually learned something about this whole era recently. And one of the games that I actually really enjoy, but I think it suffers from the same problem graphically, is Mario Golf on the GBA.
Right.
Advance Tour. There was this hot moment there where pre-rendered sprites, I don't mean like cool hand-drawn sprites, right, but like pre-rendered, like 3D Studio Max looking shit.
You mean like Rare's Donkey Kong Country?
Kind of like that, but right, worse.
Way worse.
It started looking real rough. I thought that whole style, its life was limited. I really feel like it doesn't hold up very well. And this game's full of that. Just tons.
It doesn't hold up. Donkey Kong Country looks so good. Rare had jumped. So after they got through doing a bunch of SNES stuff with Nintendo, they decided to jump right into the 3D world. They saw what was going to happen even before the N64 came out, which, you know, they knew what was going to happen. So they got some Silicon Graphics machines while they were still developing things for the SNES, and they made that Donkey Kong Country we had talked about. And it was mind-blowing at the time, because all we'd ever seen was, you know, hand-drawn sprites up at that point. But now we had, like, some 3D fully shaded. It was such a unique look, but it does have a very short...
Very short lifespan, yeah, I'm afraid. Like, I don't know... I have to admit, the idle animation here that we're looking at, it's kind of impressive. Okay. They're putting a lot of frames in here.
Yeah.
But the actual little rendered dudes, it's just not... I don't know. It wasn't
talking to Mojo. Mojo's going...
That guy's a real...
Mumbo.
It's not that great. It's kind of hard to play and a little clunky, and I don't think it controls that well. So I would kind of agree. I would kind of advise not playing Grunty's Revenge.
Yeah, 2.5. If you're actually playing it on a real Game Boy Advance, it might be okay. But at any screen size larger than that, it does not scale up. And it is painfully obvious. The audio's a little bit rough. The N64 sounds much better. And this is already a game that borders on loud, right? Trying to appeal to young people. And so it borders on loud. And when you don't nail that just right, you just get obnoxious. And I apologize if this is anybody's favorite.
Yeah, if this is your favorite game, apologies.
It's fine. You can love it. This could, for whatever reason, it's probably nostalgia, but for whatever reason, it's fine. This actually is the third installment of the Banjo-Kazooie, but is the second chronologically.
Right.
I think this has the, doesn't this have the Grunty Gruntilda mech or whatever it is?
Yeah.
I always loved
the
that.
The witch mech.
Why am I such a sucker for that? If you make your bad guy one way, and then like to upgrade them, to make them even more badass, you turn them into a mecha.
I know why. Do you want to know why?
I just love it.
We learned why when we did our Wolfenstein retrospective, when they put
this
Hitler.
Is true. Yeah, if you mecha Hitler,
yeah.
I am not a Hitler fan, but if you mecha Hitler me, I'm like, oh, you can't hate.
I'm not a Hitler fan.
I'm not a Hitler fan at all.
You know,
but Mecha Hitler, he can't hate.
Yeah, unfortunately, can't hate. We live in a time where some people are fans again, and so it does require that to say that. But I remember growing up, nobody would ever say they're a Hitler fan.
You didn't have to. I didn't have to have that little. Not a Hitler fan. I'm getting a shirt. Says it right there.
Exactly. Well, anyway, now let's go kart racing, everyone. Let's play the GBA game that I actually quite like. There's a game out there called Banjo Pilot, and it sounds like this. Oh, we got like airplane shit. Wonder what that's about. Oh, listen to that. Jeez Louise. So if that sounds like a raucous, fun racing game, well, you'd be right. This is, again, a 2.5D piece of business on the GBA. Plays like Mario Kart and, Diddy Kong Racing.
Look at that. Doesn't all just come back around? So Banjo-Kazooie is basically just doing Diddy Kong Racing.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is this Diddy Kong? He's got to start officially in our eyes anyway. And so you're
flying. And he's flying again. It's not yeah. cars. It's like a hover. They don't really fly because you're not going very vertical. But
right.
But
it's like pod racing.
Yeah, like pod racing kind of.
Set time.
And it's fun. It's a fun Mario Kart ripoff. And I like this game. I can play this game for stretches of time and enjoy myself.
And it's good because, so once again, it is a sprite-based game. It's still on the Game Boy Advance. But for some reason, kart games look really good. I mean, even when Mario Kart still is sprite-based, even when they didn't have to. But they did it to improve performance.
Yep.
And it just always works. I guess it's because, it's just there's only so many positions that you have to see from behind.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
So it's good stuff.
And this game features a weapon that you can have all the time. And it's like shoots little nuts out. And you can.
Is it nuts or write it? Is it the honeycombs? Because, okay, so honeycombs.
They might be
and
bees.
Eggs. Yeah, it might be bees. You're right. Yeah. Because honeycombs, bees. I didn't play this one at all because this is 2005.
Oh, you should. It's so fun. It's good, dude.
I got to go back and play it. That's so, good. Yeah, the thematically is probably going to either be honeycombs or, like you said, bees or maybe some blue eggs. Red eggs, I think, came along later in the Tui, mm-hmm. the Banjo Tatui. So you got Jingos, Gruntilda, Mumbo. You got Humbo Mumbo. You got all the classics there. Definitely Mario Kart.
I love this game. I really, really like it. And I like these in general. I'm a big kart racer fan. And I'm not like so precious. It has to be Mario every time. I like Crash Team Racing. I like this.
I love that stupid. There's Garfield Racing. I like stupid SpongeBob Racing.
Same.
You throw some characters from beloved franchise on a kart.
Yep. You know what I want more than anything? Down. And they just never do it, but I would pay for this. I want Mortal Kombat Racing. And I want kart racing, but I want MK characters. I want them doing their stuff. So, like, if you're Jax, you fire your arms behind you or whatever. If you're, Scorpion, you say get over here, and you pull a guy to you. Like, I want that so bad.
That is an amazing idea. I would totally play a Mortal Kombat kart racer. I mean,
and you've already got the K's. Look at all the K's. You go M. You go Mortal. Yeah. Combat with a K, kart racing.
Love it.
Or something.
Oh, that is brilliant. Why is there not that?
Make it bloody. Really wrecking people when you're getting them when they go behind you, or the abilities are just gross. Like, why aren't they making that game?
I mean, okay, look, we've already rebooted the franchise, basically, right? That's what we're doing now with this.
Yeah,
Mortal
this
Kombat
new one's
one,
a new. It's a
coming.
Whole new reimagining, kind of.
Yeah, so we've already done it. We've obviously done everything. We're reimagining. Time to make the kart. I agree with Scott. It's time to make the kart.
It's time. It's past time.
Mortal Kart Bat.
Yeah.
Don't do that. That's a bad idea. Don't call it
Why
Mortal
not?
Kombat.
Kart Bat. I'm telling you, Kart Bat.
All right.
Mortal Kombat Kart Bat.
You're sticking with Kart Bat. I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, go play this little kart game. It's fun. It's good. Banjo Pilot, it's called.
Banjo Pilot.
And these are great games. I think, with the exception of Grunty's Grunty or whatever, dropping
Grunty's,
a Grunty.
Yeah, Grunty's McGruntles.
These are all worth checking out again. And if you've got, like we say, Game Pass or you can just straight up buy it. But if you have an Xbox, you can play it. I wish it was on PC. Brian's right. You can play it over the cloud, which is probably worth that. But this is all making me just want to go play it. I think I'm going to play it.
It played fine. I played it. It played fine in my little browser. It was fine.
Combat
did you know that
carts.
I do want to mention one last thing.
Yeah.
Because this made me laugh.
Go.
So in the game, Banjo-Kazooie, characters, they would always say weird crap. And there's one thing that kind of gets a little blue. And they pulled all of that mumbly language from things that were around them. So they may have heard some person say something. So you're inventing a language, essentially. And so one of those things that I read on thegamer.com, 15 shocking things you never knew about Banjo-Kazooie, was how Omi Knackers became Uminaka. Uminaka. So Uminaka, Uminakas. Omi Knackers. So there was a guy there that worked, Greg Kirk Cope, who worked at Rare, who was worried he might have serious health problems. So he often showed up late to the studio after leaving the doctor. This is British people. You got to remember that. As he walked up the corridors, he would shout, "Oh, me knackers!" I mean, that's
what was he talking about? His testicles or
his
what?
Testicles.
Okay.
The testicles.
Those are his knackers. This,
okay. Yeah, his knackers. Oh, me knackers! So if you're ever late for work, that's definitely the excuse to go with.
Well, why did they hurt? Did they hurt because they thought there was something wrong with them, or did the doctor do something that made them hurt?
Good question.
Know? Okay.
But they found it humorous, and they made the phrase into "Oh, me knacker."
Oh, me knacker.
So yeah, so if you hear that in there, that's what's going on. That's what's going on there. You're knackers.
That's some fun side note there that you just introduced.
But that's how blue Rare was. They had a very Rare was good at being a little blue,
yeah,
but not in your face blue. It was good.
Yeah, I get it.
How about this? Enough to make you snicker, but not enough to make your mom go turn that off.
Oh, there's never enough to make my mom do that anymore. She won't do that now. All right, let's get to the let's get right to where the rubber meets the road. Yeah, that's right. It's Guess Our Game.
Destroy it.
All right, it's Guess Our Game time. We play audio from an old game and we try to guess what each other brought. We have three questions we can ask. We give a little hints at the top. I'm going to start. My game is from 1993 and it is on the Sega Genesis, Brian.
Oh, the Sega Genesis. I have one of those.
Yeah, I do have a few of those now. I'm going to go ahead and play it. 93 is the year. Let's see if you can figure it out. Here you go.
That is Genesis is all Get Out.
Oh, yeah.
Too bad this game's not called Guess Which System.
Yeah, no, you get it immediately. Here's some gameplay.
Oh, I know this. Oh, I played the hell out of this. What is this?
It was very popular.
Oh yeah, 1993 Sega Genesis.
Yep. What's your first question?
Have we not already did this one?
I don't think so.
Wow, this sounds super familiar.
It's possible because we're gonna probably start doing that by accident, you know?
Right, right. Oh Jesus, I'm gonna be so mad. I've played this recently. Whatever the hell this is. All right, so let's start guessing shit. Let's see. Was this a Sega property? Is this something that Sega was making, or is it a third party?
Yes, and I will give you additional information. It is a Sega title, and includes Sega intellectual property, but it is based on something that already exists as a popular thing. But they
popular
put
thing.
Their
gotcha.
They kind of skinned it and called it their own. If that helps.
Let's skin that puppy.
And call it my own.
Woo-hoo!
Whee! Yep.
All right. So, okay. So, it's an intellectual property. Sprite-based. It's going to be... Okay. So, we got to ask the normal questions. Is it a platformer?
No. Well, let me think how you'd classify this. No, this is not a platformer.
Not a platformer. Interesting.
Yep. I will say that there's a character involved from a platformer.
If that helps. A character from a platformer.
Uh-huh.
Is there fighting involved?
There is a versus mode, but no fighting in a traditional sense. There's no like punching or anything like that or shooting.
No shooting or fighting, but there is fight. So it's a competition. So it's kind of...
Don't look at the chat, but someone got it in the chat. Right. But don't.
Okay, so it's and no, fighting. Zoe. So it's a competition, but it's not fighting.
Zoe says
Sega Genesis.
Zoe says bloop bloop choplifter. That is incorrect. Not correct.
Okay, I'm going with bloop bloop choplifter. I've definitely played this game recently. I'm going to be so mad when you tell me what it is.
Well, you got at least one more question, right? I think.
Oh, do I? Okay. It's kind of spooky too. It's kind of like a spooky sound going on.
Yeah, I would say let's say it has a dastardly tone.
Dastardly. Oh. That's weird. Now you're making me think it's Wacky Races.
Well, maybe it is. You have to decide.
Because you said dastardly. It's a competition, but it's not a fight. Shit. I'm going to be so mad when you tell me what this is. Is it Bob?
Let's see. Is it Bob?
It's not Bob. I'm wanting to play Bob. I know I was playing Bob the other week, and so I'm thinking maybe that's what's triggering my mind. That's the only thing I've played recently that was on the Genesis.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything else. It's not Wacky Races.
We'll see if it's Bob.
Give it to me.
Definitely not Bob. It is
Heckamit.
Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine.
Oh, that's okay.
We haven't done that before, right?
That not too long ago.
But we have definitely not done this on the show.
I think I did that one to you.
Did you?
I think I've done it to you. So you haven't done it to me before. I think I actually, this was an
really?
Early one, I believe.
We need somebody out there, I don't know who, maybe Bombats or somebody who's smart to figure out a way
convert
to database.
Our spreadsheet.
Yeah, figure out a way to get all the ones we've done. So that we don't do them again. You know
what
I mean?
We got an email with a big spreadsheet, and I try to check it. But man, if we could like just be lazy.
Yeah, I want to be lazy. I want to not do extra work I want to do.
If you could be lazy. But that's a really good one. Daggummit. Yeah. I knew I had played that not long ago. That was another one I had played. I had played Bob, and I had played this not too long ago. But this is one of those ones, for some reason, it's in my ROM collection at a certain area that I always end up running it when I'm testing stuff.
Yeah, it's good for that.
And so it's got good background music. It's just so good.
Yeah, and it's based on Puyo Puyo, which is the same damn game, but it's just skin different and fun. So right, you know, if you're at home listening and you didn't see the video, it's a puzzle game. All right, look it up. All right,
while you're doing that, I've been frantically trying to remember in my drug haze this morning.
Let me guess. You have no idea what clip you sent me. It's a PS1
I have
game.
No idea. Dude, I woke up this morning. I woke up at what time I was supposed to wake up. I only had like 3 hours of sleep. And then I fell back to sleep, which I never do. I'm totally drugged up.
I don't do that either.
And yeah. Oh my God. And I woke up and I was like, oh shit, I gotta do my clip this morning.
Mm.
Oh Jesus. Okay, let me pull up my you know what I did? I did do it. So I should be in my history for my bash.
Yeah,
so
we
should be good.
Something.
So I think I FFmpeg'd this thing, so I should be. Oh, I found it.
You
okay,
did?
I know what the hell it is. I know
right.
what it is now.
You know what
okay.
it is. All right, I'm going to play it. 1998 PlayStation 1. That's what we got. All right.
So you're not going to get this one. Mine's tough.
All right, here we go.
Warning. Incoming chairs. Evacuate area.
Incoming chairs? Say incoming chairs?
Is that what you heard?
Well, let me hear that again.
Warning. Incoming chairs. Evacuate.
I'm hearing incoming chairs. Am I?
PlayStation 19. What did I say? 1990. What was the year with my 98 PlayStation.
This
came out a day before my birthday. Nice.
All right, is it a run and gun game where you run and shoot or drive and shoot? You know what I mean, like a.
I'll give you this. It's an over-the-shoulder perspective shooter.
Over-the-shoulder perspective.
The turret is Megabyte's most basic weapon, but don't be fooled; they are deadly.
Boy, the sound mixing is bad.
Incoming chairs. Evacuate area immediately.
Incoming chairs.
So I can hear now, isn't it?
Chairs.
That's not what they're saying, though. But yeah, okay. That's all you can hear now, right?
Is it LAPD? Little mech game. You're a policeman in an LAPD.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's no, but that I do know what you mean. Yeah.
All right. That's so that's question one. Two. Question three. Behind the shoulder, so it's third person.
Right. It's a 3D action game.
It feels like... Oh, is this Crazy Ivan?
Ooh. No, that's a good one, though.
Damn it.
Is that your third guess?
I loved Crazy Ivan. Yeah, oh, that's my Crazy third Ivan. Question, so I play this. What is it?
Bam-a-boom. Is the game Reboot based off the game or the TV series Reboot? Do you remember that?
Oh, my Lord. This existed? I didn't know
yes.
this was a thing.
And look at Ellis in the chat room getting that. I didn't think anybody would get it. Good job.
Wow. I'm impressed. How would you know this game, you guys? My gosh. I didn't even know. I watched Reboot here and there.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, such an ugly early 3D
stuff.
Oh,
it was really bad.
If you've never at least taste the flavor of Reboot, you need to at least taste it. It's such a weird,
it's a weird
90s
metallic
thing.
Flavor. It's a strange flavor, kind of empty of any calories, but it's still worth tasting, you know?
Yeah. It almost feels, it's like this weird thing. It's almost, I'm like, did Captain Planet people make this? Because it feels kind of Captain Planet in 3D or something. It's
a little bit.
Really weird.
Yeah, a little bit. I'm with you there. I'm also getting 720 vibes in this level. It's weird.
Oh, yeah. Because he's got
roller
his little feet disc. Yeah, he's got his little.
But this was the same time. Like, when did we get Beast Wars? And it was the same kind of bad 3D stuff, but I loved Beast Wars.
Oh, but it's funny, the Beast Wars even today it holds up, even though it's one of the really early rudimentary looking 3D. You know, we didn't have texture mapping.
Yeah, right. It was all just smooth surfaces and stuff. But I really liked I love the story, but man, I have nothing but fond feelings for Beast Wars. Reboot, I could take or leave. It's not really my thing.
But. Yeah, it was such a weird story. I didn't feel any connectivity to it because it existed only. Transformers was kind of like, hey, what if we also did Transformers in this universe? And it's like, okay, I'm grounded.
You were grounded in a concept I already agree with and like and enjoy, right? But Reboot was like mostly about, hey, ooh, 3D. This is a weird 3D. Saturday morning. Get my cereal ready, you know?
I'm shiny and I have metal hair. Ooh.
Oh, man. These PS1 graphics are so bad, dude. They're sometimes I'm impressed with them, and sometimes I just look at it and go, this is ass.
This actually looks better than the cartoon, though.
Yeah, which is a hilarious thing, right? It does. It moves better than the cartoon.
They should have just made the whole cartoon out of the PlayStation game.
That's amazing.
Voiced over top of it.
Well, there you have it. Get those chairs. Incoming chairs, everybody. Incoming chairs.
Incoming chair.
Now this.
Welcome to the treasure room.
Let's do an email here that we got from a listener.
Oh, sure.
PlayRetroShow@gmail.com is where you can send it. You can also text us at 801-471-0462. And you can leave voicemails there as well if you're so inclined. It doesn't matter what you want to send.
What if I'm so reclined?
If you're reclined, then you're lucky because I'd love to be that right now. Hi, Scott and Brian, says Dave. As a fellow Gen Xer, I enjoyed the discussion around how the generation prior to us loved to be disingenuous with labeling everything as quote-unquote the best or greatest ever. This reminded me of a saying I really dislike, fake it until you make it. This resulted in some real jerks in business, especially when I was a new graduate back in the 90s. I worked as a chemist in a company that was sales-based, selling chemistry instruments, and the sales team lived that mantra. No matter what my experiment showed, the company no longer exists. So there was too much faking and not enough making, he says. Keep up the great work, Dave. Yeah, I hate that bro talk, that business bro talk. I hate it.
Only time I refer to fake it till you make it is acting like I feel well. Like, it's like, I don't feel well. I'm going to fake it till I make it.
Till you're there. Till you
feel
well.
That's about the only time. When it comes to faking it till you make it, where chemistry instruments, please don't fake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Please don't fake my beakers because I don't want those to explode in my face.
Yep. Money drives all sorts of weird things, but this idea of fake it till you make it or anybody can be a billionaire is just bullshit. Right.
Yeah.
It's just bullshit. Not anyone can be a billionaire. I'm sorry. It's not true. You can say we have this thing in our hearts that says I can do anything if I really put my mind to it. No. Right. You're going to rely on, you can do as much as you can and you might make it, but luck has such a massive part of this.
Okay. So I'm not blaming a generation for this, but I will say it wasn't uncommon upon that generation that was espousing the fake it till you make it mantra. It was a really hard thing for us Gen Xers because we were so cynical, still are. It was a real hard thing for us to listen to. And it was also, I think, were we one of the generations that had so much expectations put on us that because expectations and kind of always telling us we could do anything, but then backtracking on that. Is mm-hmm. that, was that everybody Gen X's experience? Is that everybody's
that
experience?
That might be everybody. That could be everybody.
I heard so much stuff growing up. Oh, you got so much potential. Sweet. So I feel like I need to operate in an exceeding capacity, but my these expectations put on me are very, very heavy. I'm just a kid. How about let me be? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, once you got, it's like, yeah, that's a lot of pressure. I was almost, God, I was a full grown adult, had kids, and they were almost adults before I finally was like, hey, it's okay, Brian. It's okay if you don't have everything that other people were expecting you to have, because I didn't necessarily want all those things that people were expecting me to do. Like, oh, you got talent. You need to go to Hollywood uh-huh. and do this and you need to do that. And I'm like, yeah, I sure do. And, you know, and eventually I'm like, I wouldn't enjoy that. I'd hate the hell out of that. Yeah. I hate people that are overdriven like that. I'm like, I like to play video games and talk to my friends on podcasts. That's who I am. I found myself.
Yeah.
But that expectation, boy.
I don't know. Expectations can be hard. And then sometimes that's parents. Sometimes that's people around you. Sometimes it's both. And I also, it's funny, the older you get, the it makes me mad that it takes you this long. But
right.
I finally am grappled with it and said, yeah, F off, everyone. I don't care. But for real, like you're all going to, your expectations of me, I'm done with those.
Yes.
What you expect from me, go up a tree and do it where somewhere else.
Do you know what
cares.
Happens when you try to meet other people's expectations?
It's
you fail.
You fail.
You disappoint them. And more importantly, you disappoint yourself.
Reach your own expectations about your own self. How about that?
You know how many years I spent trying to be Scott Johnson, the cartoonist?
Whatever. Brian's a very talented cartoonist. He just doesn't show everybody.
I don't have... It took me a long time to figure it out. I'm like, damn it. I know I can draw like Scott can. What I don't have, though, is it the willpower? How about the desire? I won't even say willpower. I don't have the desire to output like Scott does. That satisfies Scott.
Sure.
It doesn't satisfy
don't
Brian.
Don't satisfy you.
Brian likes to work on a freaking art piece of art for a month and just futz around with it. Scott's got to get stuff out. He ain't got time for that.
Yeah. And you know what? We need that. We need things that take a month and futz around with. And we need
futzing around.
And
with
we
it.
Need weirdos like me that are like, I gotta draw all night. Like, you know.
I gotta draw one. I gotta poop out of art. I gotta poop it out.
I gotta make an art. All right. Thank you for the
but
email.
As a result, Scott does what I've learned many successful people do. And I learned it by doing a little podcast. And it is you start out with the time you have and you just deal with whatever the end result is.
Yeah, you just deal with it.
And over time, you get better.
There you go.
I never wanted that. I was like, I want it to look like I've been doing it for 40 years.
Yeah, you want to start, you want to just, you know, go. That's why the whole ready, aim thing doesn't work for me. I have to fire. I have to just like, okay, even if it's shitty, I'm doing it right now.
Yep, doing it.
Like, let's just go. Otherwise, I'd never pull the trigger. All right. Thank you for that email. That was awesome. Thanks, Dave. Dave sent us an email, playretroshow@gmail.com. If you'd like to use that, you can, and those other methods I mentioned before. Now, our next discussion will be...
Are you going to accept the discussion? Like I said, short week.
No, so I like it. I like it. Yeah. And this dips right into my wheelhouse here. Before World of Warcraft, which turns 20 next November, by the way.
Yeah, can you believe it? You're getting old, people. You're getting old.
Technically, I've been playing it for 20 years because I played the Friends and Family beta about a year before release. So for me, it's already 20, but it's a long-ass time ago, and it's about to become an old video game, folks. It's an old-ass game. We're going to talk about 94's Orcs and Humans, 95's Tides of Darkness, 96's Beyond the Dark Portal, and so on.
All that stuff before World of Warcraft, it was a much different game.
Yep. Hopefully my years on the instance, 16 of them, will help contribute to this. But also, you know, I know some people who worked on these games, and I bet I could get a few, a few little tidbits that we may not be able to get somewhere else.
Oh, we're gonna get some secrets, are we?
Secrets, maybe.
Secrets.
I don't know. Who knows? Don't lower your expectations, everybody.
We're putting the expectations on our podcast children.
Yep. That thing we just said about not putting too many expectations on us. Well, I went and did that. Anyway.
You got to fake it until you make it.
That's right. We're going to talk about that history and why it's such a big deal. It's a huge deal. The Warcraft stuff is a giant deal. So we will get to that next week right here on Play Retro. In the meantime, Listen, I know you guys have got places to go, people to see, and other stuff to listen to. All right? I understand we're not the only chicken in your coop.
We're not the only chicken in your backpack.
Oh, that's the phrase I was looking for. Chicken on your back. Oh, because of the Banjo-Kazooie business.
Yeah. Connectivity.
Duh. That was good, and I just didn't think of it. Anyway, we know that. We know that you're busy. We know that your dollars mean something. You know, you're not all just running around throwing money everywhere. All right? So if you've got a dollar or two, and you're just thinking, I need somewhere safe for this, somewhere I can put it into some content I can count on, then I would recommend our Patreon at patreon.com/playretro. You could be like brand new patrons, Albert Marr, Mr. Postman, Red Eye. We mentioned Spaghetti Syntax last week. These are new folks who we just love to death, and they are part of the program here because they're rad and they're supporting our show. If you want to support us and get great benefits in the process, get over there now and get her done. That's it. Play Retro.
And they even got to hear our pre-show discussion about Mario in church.
Yeah, Mario in church.
Mario church music.
And if you're like, what? I'm telling you, you don't want to miss it. And that's a great way to get it. And by the way, if you sign up now, you get access to all our old pre-show, which we've been doing since episode one. So you'll get all of it. It's not like you suddenly can only go from here forward. No, all the back catalog is yours as well. All ad-free, all the time, available at your fingertips. Okay? So go check it out. That's patreon.com/playretro today. That's going to do it for us. Hey, Brian, is there anything you'd like to add to today's discussion before we kick out of here and leave?
Yeah. I've got to go back and finish getting all the jiggies.
Get the jiggies. Week, so yeah. Get jiggy with jiggies. It.
Do you think that's what Will Smith was talking about when he was getting jiggy with it?
Yeah. He was saying get jiggy with it. And then something about Miami's great.
And Nick Offerman, he played Banjo-Kazooie, and it was the last video game he ever played.
That's right. Really, oh, he said that, didn't he? I forgot about that.
Recently.
He said that he had to quit because he was so addicted to Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah.
That's the day he quit playing video games ever again.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Banjo.
Yeah. Thanks, Banjo-Kazooie. You screwed us now again. Just kidding. That's going to do it for us. Go somewhere this week, guys, this week before we hear you again, and play something retro, and we'll see you next week.
Knackers.
Knackers.
Call me knackers.
Get more at frogpants.com.
I could go longer.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinis. I'm Kayla Itzinis, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.